All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll get started. We will get started. The time is now 8:37. We'll allow a little grace for people to grab their seats. Good morning. Welcome to the Sarah Stevenson Tuesday Morning Forum. My name is Winston Robinson. I am a facilitator alongside co-facilitators Ms. Laura McClay, Ms. Carlinia Ivory Canty, Ms. Jackie Edwards Walton, Ms. Natalie McElrath, Mrs. Mary Johnson, Mr. Steve Johnson, our website editor, and our chaplain, Ms. Sarita Sherrill. Our forum runs from 8:30 a.m., concluding at 9:45 a.m., at which time we will pause for announcements from the audience. Announcements can also be sent to Steve Johnston at sjohnston, with a T, at tuesdayforumcharlotte.org. As always, we open with a prayer by our chaplain, Ms. Sarita Sherrill. If you will, please lead us in a word of prayer.
Good morning.
I must apologize to you for last week. My head and my body don't always cooperate together. I was trying to do a memorialization for our former Isaac Applewhite and our former Joel Odom. Those are the two persons that I was trying to memorialize last week, but it obviously didn't get over as well as I thought it should. So with that in mind, let's get a few minutes silence, remembering them in the Tuesday Morning Forum. She's reminding me of Dr. Palocate. We haven't done him either, but I'll do him another time when I get him. Yes, those two we'll get next week, I promise you. But let's take a few minutes of silence, remembering their contributions to Tuesday Morning Forum, please. At times of loss, words are difficult. We want to extend comfort to someone who has lost a beloved spouse, child. And in this case, we lost a spouse and a child. We don't know what to say. Yet this is the time for words. A few words can comfort a broken heart. A broken memory, a personal memory, can bring a smile. The assurance of prayers can offer a hand to someone who is grieving. And as Christians, we can say with confidence, "Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. Our guest today is the dynamic, just an amazing person to have in this community, this city. Her name is Crystal Joy. Today she is with the Lee Institute. And she will give you more about an atypical approach to Tuesday Morning Breakfast that we're going to have this morning. But following her presentation, we will take questions from the audience. Please raise your hand and I will call on you in the order in which your hand is acknowledged. Questions should be no longer than 30 seconds. Once a question receives a response, there are no counters. We do not debate. No further ado. Oh, yes, your phone. If you would please take a moment to silence your phones, it would be greatly appreciated. And Crystal will tell you, I think this is a participatory Tuesday Morning Forum. We also, you know, of course, we have post-pandemic. We have a larger audience online. I don't know if you would need or could use answers that will come later. But we could likely get those to you as well. So with no further ado, please, Ms. Crystal Jordan.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My apologies for being somewhat discombobulated this morning. My colleague, who is Gina Esquivel, who was going to present to you all this morning, unfortunately was in a car accident on her way here. So she called to tell me that she was on an accident and that she was like, can you get somebody there because we need to be there. I said, absolutely. So I'm trying to pitch it. We also have someone else that's coming. I don't know if you all are familiar with Toni Tuppence. She, who was with the Sign of the Times as well, she's also coming in, and so she's going to actually facilitate us through the process, and she and I will tag team on this since it's kind of a last-minute pull together. But what I want to do this morning is just quickly reintroduce myself. Crystal Joy, Managing Director at the Lee Institute. We are a nonprofit organization that focuses on doing nonprofit board development, so we might do strategic planning, we might do board assessments and executive director board training so that people understand how your nonprofit boards work and how you can improve those. We do civic engagement, which is what we're doing here today, making sure that we get community input and voice into important processes and in things that are impacting our community. And then we do leadership development. We have an American Leadership Forum program that we facilitate. So what we'll also want to do today is have this conversation with you all around the impact of corporate-owned single-family properties in our community. So in a very high level, what we really want to talk about today is what's the impact of having corporate landlords purchase single-family homes in our community? And what's that doing and what's that look like? How is it impacting us? What are your thoughts and experiences, either personally or in proximity to others who might be experiencing it? And ultimately, then, what are the things that you would like to see or your recommendations around how we can really solve for this issue? So we'll really want, so it'll be much more of a, you know, so we're kind of breaking what you all usually do today, it sounds like, and it's going to be much more participatory. So what I'll do first is that we'll, we have some boards up here that Toni will kind of talk through, but since I have duplicates, I'm going to pass around some of the boards so that you can see the information that we're going to talk about. One is the definition around of how we are looking at corporate landlords. What does that mean? So when we're talking and having the conversation, you'll have a better understanding of what it is that we're talking about. And then we'll jump directly into the conversation around what does it feel like to have corporate landlords in your communities, in our communities? And again, how do we maybe mitigate some of the challenges that we are facing as a result? We've heard a couple already this morning as we were kind of talking offline around what we were talking about this morning. But let me at least go ahead and pass out some of these, some of the boards. Pass out some of the boards. Let's start here. Some of these. And some of this is telling us a little bit about what the experience is, what the data is telling us. We'll just kind of pass these around. Let me know when you're ready to move them.
Excuse me.
Facilitator.
Can I have a question while we're looking?
Yeah, I think that's a
Okay. So it's very interesting that we I'm seeing people of color with Lee Institute. That's a really good thing. I have been to so many of these presentations, not so much at Lee Institute, but with so many other organizations, and my problem is, and I work with Action North Carolina and some of the other organizations, we back and forth to Raleigh and whole nine yards. But what I'm seeing, yes, people are moving here and everything else, and we keep saying that we're going to do something, here's solutions, you want to hear our thoughts, but the thing about it is, they're still taking over, doing what they want to do, and we still have not got what we need for a lot of the people who need these homes. We even have housing where they're leasing them out. You can no longer buy the houses. That's a problem for me. And then the rent is so high that people don't really have places to live. So those words, affordable homes and affordable houses and all that, is unfair to people that need them. So when are we going to stop? We get all this money and do all this research and all this stuff look good. So when are we going to be able to, because there a lot of people are still homeless. And that's a problem for me. My daughter was living with me at one time and everything else, housing is a problem. So what? So the thing is, and trying to find it is still a problem because it's just outrageous. So what are y'all gonna do? Other than just show me pretty little things on words.
Yeah. No, it's a great question. That's a great question. So my response is, that's why we're trying to be here in these conversations, because we want to do more, much, much, much more. Because what we find in these processes, and full transparency right now, the process that we've had so far has not included enough people of color, enough black people, enough brown people to be able to say, hey, these are our experiences, and this is actually what we're experiencing and what we need in order to move things forward. First thing I heard was a little bit earlier, and I don't want to kind of get into the process too much, but what's the one thing that we need to be able to fix the problem?
Money.
Legislation.
Okay.
Policy. Accountability.
Okay.
Who are you taking this information to, and what are they listing?
Yes, so that's a great question too, and that was one of the questions I asked as well. So what we're doing in this process is the county has hired Lee Institute, and we're working with Urban Institute to get community input on what needs to happen. So but I understand the concern about what's going to really be done about any of this. So we're trying to push from our side, from the Lee Institute side, from the Urban Institute side, to say, these are what our community members are saying that they need. This is what needs to happen so that things can move.
The county, the accountability is hiring part. All these other institutions and stuff, and hire the people that, I'm sorry,
yeah,
that need to be at the table.
Yeah. Yeah.
There it is.
Great. My question is the process that's being, that we are using this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have the forums that we'd like to open, but my question is, because maybe, I mean, I know I'm slow, but I just need to understand what you want us to do, how you want us to maneuver through this. Because as I look at this, the three of us can discuss it, but can you give us more explicit instructions on exactly what you want us to do with this is sitting in front of me, and how I'm to interact with the rest of the people in here about what I'm looking at?
Yes, ma'am. So the intent here of putting the boards out is to give you some additional information before Tony comes in and to facilitate. So what she does is, when she comes in, she's going to talk through all of this information. So at least, since we're running short, well, we want to show short on time, we want to keep things on time, that you all have an idea of what the boards are, what the information is that we've collected or that they've told us to present. And then there are essentially three questions. What are the impacts in the communities that you live in or that you're in proximity to So what are the impacts that are being felt by the corporate landlords having homes in these spaces? Then the next piece is, what is it that you would like to see happen differently? And then the next piece is, what are your recommendations around change? So some of the recommendations around change would be exactly what you said. And again, not for me to put words into the process, but it would be hire people that are in the, that are actually part or that would participate in these processes to actually find the solutions. So those are the types of things that we need to be able to hear so that we can take back to them to say what we're doing or what they, the community says what you're doing right now may or may not be working. And here's how they're recommending that changes be made. And here are the specific changes. So those are essentially the three questions. There'll be the talk of what the corporate landlords are so that you can define it and you know what it's being, how it's being defined. But then what are the solutions so that we can say, this is what community is saying, so that we're asking you all to come up, kind of come up with those. Oh my God. Does that help?
Yes, it does.
Go ahead.
This is,
no, go ahead.
Yeah, it helps, but you know, and we know that it's supposed to be an open discussion, but I think that my opinion
is
that we would take one of these charts, look at it, think about it, and then get input from people about it. You know, just, I mean, it's a lot that's going on. The definition, let's see if we all clearly understand the definition. And I see two things up there with definition.
Mm-hmm.
So we need, you know, just take one at a time. And because you're going to get input from this group, you know, if it's not for two or three of us, you're going to get some input to see what we can do about that. And then by the time she gets here, maybe we can come up with those recommendations.
Okay.
That's what I would do.
Okay.
If I had all of this.
Okay. Everybody okay with that?
Does it make it right? It doesn't make it wrong. That's what I would do.
Yeah, absolutely. Other thoughts?
So in my construction class with Chambers High School students, we talk about the double-edged swords of this,
mm-hmm.
where companies like Tricon and Imitation Homes will give us work as contractors. We'll make thousands of dollars as contractors. But then again, once we make the additions and the improvement to the houses for the corporation, they take them and jack the prices up so high that the people from the community is not going to be able to afford it. And if they fail or they default on their mortgage, they're just going to come to us taxpayers and we're going to bail them out. Whereas if I default on my mortgage, you're going to kick me out in the street and take the house back and resell it. So the corporation has a big advantage as a landlord because they're going to charge higher rents. And if it doesn't work, they're going to come to us as taxpayers and say, well, this didn't work. This was a bad investment. Give me your taxes so I can go back and live in my life in my big gated community. So that's the double-edged sword. You make money here, but you push your own neighbors out of the neighborhood.
Yeah, because I heard somebody use the word accountability a little bit earlier.
A couple of things. I'm an advocate to make sure that people have affordable housing, and I work with an organization called NOAA, and I think they're one of the best when it comes to that's with Erskine and Nelson and them. We talked about this before, Winston. You know, they do apartments. They renovate these apartments. They're like new. And I mean, you can get in basically on your income for almost nothing. I mean, it's really an affordable housing. I want people to go a step further and make it so that we can buy, you know. But what I do want you to go back and tell the county is, don't come back to Bakesford Road until I know what you've done on the other side of town. And when you match what you have put on Bakesford Road, then you come back and let's talk. But we need to spread this out. And it's not saying Ivory Canty is opposed to affordable housing. I didn't say that.
Right.
I said, just go back, go to some of these other places. Find these little cracks and spaces like you find on Bakesford Road. Because what we're striving for on that side is economic development. And so So make sure, yeah, you write that down. Tell the town. Do y'all not agree with that?
Yes.
Diverse price point house.
I disagree totally. Because affordable housing doesn't work.
But do you disagree with?
We're talking about this, no. Here's what does work. Mixed income housing work.
Right, I agree.
And our goal is affordable housing, our goal is to fail. We need to do mixed income housing. We have to let them, we have to stop them from saying you can't build it here, not in my backyard. They're never going anywhere until we build in their backyard. And that, and the county can do that. And they just refuse to. I don't think the Lee Institute or anybody else needs us to tell them what they need to do in order to make it work. They know what they need to do in order to make it work. They just don't do it.
Well, I think now that you and I are saying the same thing, I didn't say mixed. I agree with you when it comes to mixed. I'm talking about, but put that, you can put that in my neighborhood.
Let's bring it back home. Let's reel it back in. I know. Sick and tired. We can go to see it all after this, but right now we got a forum. All right. So now we have Ms. Tony Coppins.
Some of these are duplicates.
So Ms. Tony will now orchestrate this forum as. Woo. All right, you walk into a booby trap.
He said you walk into a booby trap.
All right, well, Ms. Mary will have a question again. We will begin questions after Ms. Tony presents.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Please forgive my being late. I didn't know it, but here I am. I knew coming into this room, it was going to be on fire.
Yes, so, yes.
You know I love you, right?
I know you love
okay.
me.
I
do.
All right.
We love you.
Thank you. So you guys have gotten the opportunity to see some of the boards that have information on it, and you know that we're here to talk about the impacts of corporate rental housing on our broader community and communities that we represent in particular. So since the conversation has begun, Crystal, I don't know that we need to go through all the other stuff. Let's just get into the questions.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I will ask that, is there anything else that you all want to respond to with regards to the boards? Are you all? Okay.
I'm new to Charlotte. 6 years. I'm an activist. I've done a lot of things in my community. It says the definition of corporate investors. It's a business. It's a business. There's certain words that are used to interest people, but it's still a business. Some of these people on that board, those institutes, don't even come in the community. They send people that look like us into the community to talk to us about something that we don't have no control over. The rents, like the sister said, are sky high. The words, don't let the words confuse you. Mixed, low income, it's all the same.
No.
Well,
I don't know.
Things just don't happen for the people that need it. That's the bottom line. And these corporate people come into the communities, build up, they're doing it all over the place. And there's a lot of people that need, that are being left out. Judge people by their character, you'll never be fooled by what they say. That's all I have to say. It's a business. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Mary. And before you go, Ms. Tony, we want to reinstitute the original rules of Tuesday Morning Forum. So if you have a question, just go ahead, raise your hand. We will write it down. And again, not a debate. Once you get your response, that is the answer. So, all right. Thank you.
Can we move those boards? Because I can't
see you. I'll move this one.
Yeah.
But after, again, we're going to go back to the original format. Ms. Mayor will have the first question. If you have a question, please raise your hand and I will acknowledge it.
Or a statement.
Or a statement. Or in this case, or a statement.
So the biggest impact of the corporate is they're coming in and they're driving up the prices of single family homes, making it almost unaffordable for us to even get the down payment.
I think they're renting. We're talking about rent.
Yeah, but I want to buy a house. This corporate person buys a house and rents it back to me. How can I pass a rented house to my kids if they own it? So you made it affordable, but you took the wealth out of my community. Because that's number 1% how we pass wealth on to our kids is through a house. Say it.
All right. Ms. Natalie.
My question is basic, because I don't understand why they're building these complexes that are all leased. I don't know financially why are they doing that as opposed to building them and then selling them. Why are they leasing them?
Right. Well, and again, we don't have an answer to that, but I think gave them the answer. That's why I made the statement that I did early on. We're accustomed to people either family member, I have a rental house, I rent it out, right? But what we're talking about now is a corporation, could be in Canada, that buys up property, even land, builds a development on it, and all of it is rental. Remember now, as he said, it's business, so whoever owns the property sets the rent. Are you with me?
Yes.
So
I know, but why does that now seem to be the trend? It never used to be where they build all these houses and they sold the houses. Now they're building all these houses and they're leasing them. I don't understand financially why it has changed. We don't know the answer to that.
We can speculate. We don't have the answer, but I think it comes right back down to your business. And you can't stop anybody from buying land except unless you decide not to sell it, right? But if I own as a corporation a plot of land and I've got 100 rental units on it, whether it's apartment or townhouses or whatever it is, and if I can set that rent at $2,500 a month, that's why I'm doing it, because that's my money.
Yeah.
And either you can pay it or you can't.
Right. Yeah. All right, so I had two things. So I'm a real estate agent, and two ways that I've seen that it's affected people is people that want to buy their first home, they can't afford it because every time a corporation buys a house, that house comes out of circulation, right? So the stats show that the average person mortgage is only held 5 to 7 years. You buy a house, you hold the house for 5 to 7 years, you move on to something else, or you take that equity out of that house and you put it onto another house. And so what happens is when that house comes out of circulation, that starter house is gone. So people can't afford to get in to buy the starter house, which of course drives the price of houses up. So that's number one. And then number two, the thing that I see is that it kind of destroys communities. When you get a Tricon or American Homes for Rent, you know, Invitation Homes, they come in and they buy a bunch of houses in the neighborhood, they become an absentee owner. So they don't care about that house. They don't care about the people that live there. You, as a person that lives in that neighborhood, you don't get a chance to build community with that house, because the people are only going to stay there for 12 to 24 months, and they're going to move. And then somebody else comes in, so it becomes a revolving door. And I think that negatively impacts our communities, because we don't really have community.
All right, Mr. Marion.
Several years ago, I, on my own, applied for speed bumps, stop signs. So I had a list. All the people in the grid that Department of Transportation gave me. I had a list of all the homeowners, and I found out a lot of information as a non-paid consultant. At that time in 2018, 2019, there was a lot of corporations that owned some of the homes around that West Craighead Road area. I met a lot of people. Since that time, a lot of homes have been developed, built, taken over, and majority of them are for sale. And I did my research, and the people that own them have been corporations. I haven't seen too many leasing or renting. They just build them, and then they sell them. When I bought my house, it was an elderly black woman that lived there. I treated her like my mother in 2017. She said, I'm not gonna sell it to an investor. I'm gonna sell it to you. And I really appreciated that. And I'm humbled by it, and I'm grateful. But that's what I've noticed, based on your question, in my area where I live.
Ms. Tony, let me ask you a question first before we go on. Gary has the next question, but I wanted to know if you could set, I guess, create a concise definition for a corporate ownership. Individual landlords, if they're advised right, first thing they'll do is put the home under LLC. They get another one, the same thing. So would that constitute corporate ownership as well? Can we have a definition?
Thank you. By the definition that we've been given to you, when we think of a corporate landlord or owner, we're thinking of 100 properties or more. So that's why I said that person who maybe has gone into real estate and said, well, I want to have, I don't know, 10 houses under in my portfolio, but my tenants can get their hands on me, right? That's not what we're calling the corporate landlord, even though they may have an LLC for business purposes. When we're thinking of corporate landlords, we're talking about that huge company that you aren't going to recognize as a name because you're going to see a number, right, or some group of letters that make no sense, and an address that's probably not going to be here, the actual address. You might see a management company. I mean, full disclosure, I found out by accident through this process that the house that I rent on the east side is managed by one of these corporate landlords. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Okay? Then when I started thinking of some things, now some things started to add up. Right? So, full disclosure, I'm saying that because sometimes we're connected with a corporate landlord, and I'm not saying yay or nay, good or bad, but sometimes we're connected and we don't even know it. This is my point. So that corporate landlord is that big, 100 or more, you probably can't put your hands on them. They're not here in Charlotte. They're somewhere else.
Thank you. Yes, absolutely. So we have Gary, then we have Ms. Mary.
Well, Ms. Mary, you can go ahead and go because mine's more of a statement than a question, so you go ahead.
Oh. Well, mine is too. But I guess I'm about solutions. And I would like to see a way for us to educate people in neighborhoods about that, about not selling their homes to them. Because, like I said before, they can't buy a house that's not for sale, you know. So there needs to be a way that we can get this word out or work with the neighborhood associations for them to work with their neighbors to say, if you have a house for sale, then maybe we can have it like you're a real estate person, right? You know, let's work with someone who can help get that house sold to a family wants to live in it. Maybe we can have a connection with some real estate agents or something for them to work through and tell them, you know, don't just let somebody come and say, we're going to write you a check right here on the spot for this house. You know, first of all, you're not going to get what it's worth, but at the same time, I think that we need to try to work with people within the neighborhood.
All right, we have Gary, Ms. Carlene, and then Ms. McCletty.
Based upon what Mary just said, in our particular neighborhood, we strongly encourage that. The only thing, and I don't want to stereotype, because it's not everybody. People go and they say, no, I'm going to go with whoever pays me the most. And, you know, it might be unfortunate, and they're going to go with whoever, you know, is paying them the most, and that is what happened. And sometimes when it comes
comes to us, buy for us, we try to lowball. But we might accept it from other people, which is sad. And then my other question is, how much land do we truly own? How much land do people who look like me truly own? And then if we truly own it, will we consider selling it to people who look like us?
Well, I mean, that was a great segue too, because I'm just listening to everyone and I understand and I feel your frustrations. But for me, being a young black man who's from Charlotte and lived in various communities, my thing is, you all have seen this come over time. And my frustration lies in, why do we accept status quo? Why do we still put, as this gentleman put earlier, we need policy, we need legislation. The onus is on us to put people in office and leadership that's actually going to guide us and enable us and educate us about what's going on. These folks were hired by people you all elected in office. So where are the people that you elected in office actually listening to you, actually with skin in the game, putting a hand in the community, ensuring that communities understand about what's going on, ways that you can fight what's going on, etc. But yet and still, we as African Americans typically vote for the devil we know. So
I'm not running.
No,
no,
okay. Because it all came from a very wise individual. But my thing is, when you have that opportunity to make change, it starts at the top with your leadership.
Yep.
And until that change is made, then you're just going to continue to get what you get, if not worse.
We got it. Did I see your hand, Ms. McGill?
Well, I was basically
going to... Whoa, no. I'm just making sure so I can add you to the order.
I did, but I was okay. basically going to say, are the corporations always outbidding? Is that why they're really saying
they're getting all the problems? Wait, sneak your question in. Ms. McClendon, then Ms. McElroy, then I know I saw another. All right. Hey, Ms. Wong. All right, so Ms. McClendon.
Okay, my concern is, once you get this information, what they ask you all to do, about how it's affecting the community, and what action should be taken, and anything else, what can and do you anticipate, or have they talked about what they will possibly do with this information? Now, those are three things that you have asked of us that we're supposed to provide you with. And like this group, Charlotte is divided and scattered, and you're not going to get anything concrete. You know, you might get it from this group, but what are they going to do with it? What difference is it going to make? Can they make power moves? Can they make a difference in the communities and stop this? You know, I when you talk about corporate, I think about Mark Spain. I see that picture. I see those advertisements. So I know he has 100 or more. You know, he looks like he has 100 or more.
1,000.
Yeah. So, but I think about when he goes and he purchases all of these houses. And we, the county, if the county can say to us, if you give us a recommendation, community, about a solution about this, then what control do we have on it if he has the money to purchase it and rent it out to us and keep us divided? So what are they? What control do they have in stopping this? That's what I want to know. What are they going? What could they possibly do? Can you share any light with that? But if we give them these our answers and our recommendations, are we wasting our time? You know, yeah, what's going to happen after that?
Let me start with the wasting your time. No, you're not wasting your time. I wish I could, and you all know me well enough, I'm trying my best to always be transparent. I don't have the answer in terms of what the county will or can do with the information. I know what they have said to us. They've said that this is a difficult this is a difficult situation we find ourselves in, and somebody in here just said it's been a long time coming. So what they're asking of you is give them any insights that you have, any suggestions that you have. This is right from Florida. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. Give them any insights, any suggestions that you have, whether it's legislative, somebody said something about legislation, whether it's looking at what other communities and other states are doing, because this is a nationwide problem. Look at solutions that others have had. In one session that I attended, one gentleman talked about some legislation that has occurred in Texas around this issue. I don't remember. I'd have to go and look up what that was specifically. But they were bringing, based on where they lived, they were bringing other kinds of solutions, not solutions, but at least other kinds of tactics to deal with it. So I know the county intends to listen to and look at all the information that we give them from you, and then they're to get together and deliberate on how they might be able to make some changes or recommend some changes. And we know, as you said, as you saw earlier, we're talking about this as a federal, state, and local issue. So all of the three are going to have to come together around that solution. So I don't know what the county can or will do. I do know that they're serious about listening to what you have to say and looking for solutions and alternatives.
So before we one, two, and then Ms. Ivory, we have a question from the internet. How many corporate-owned properties are in the region, and what is their average rent?
I don't know how many corporate-owned there are in the region. What I know is in 2021, corporations owned approximately 13,600 single-family homes in our area. Median home prices in that period have increased 54%. All right?
Yep.
Median single family home rent in that time has increased 27%. So, and this is data from 2021.
Yep. Is there a percentage that 13, wait, but this is important to her point. Is there a percentage that we know that 13,000 represents of the homes that were available that are owned by corporate entities? What percentage is that 13,000 of the greater stock that was?
Of the greater stock of available homes?
That were for yeah.
Single family total.
What's 100%?
In terms of number, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I'm not sure. I don't want to give you wrong information.
All right, who's got it? All right, no. Then Carlene.
So I have two things. Number one, corporations don't always offer the highest or the best in multiple offer situations, which is why if you do sell a house, you should always bring it to the market so it's exposed to all the possible buyers. But second, the solution is not a government-based solution. They can't help us. It starts with your homeowners associations. So what many HOAs have done is they've instituted a 20% rental cap, which is why it's important for you to be an active, engaged member of your local HOA. And if you don't have one, you should maybe start talking to your neighbors about starting one, because that's the only way to block out a corporation from coming in and buying up all the properties, right? Because when you put in a rental cap, which a local homeowners association can do, it's like a bypass of fair housing loans, right? As a realtor, if I list a house, I can't say to the public, no investors allowed, if there's no type of rental cap or something like that in place, right? Because I have to be open to market that house to everybody that can buy it. But you as an individual, if you sell your house privately, you don't have to abide by those laws, right? So it starts on a very local level, a community level, is probably the best way to stop it, because I don't see where legislatively a county, city, or a state is going to really put in legislation to stop it.
We got Ms. Nathalie, then Ms. Carlenia, then Ms. Sarita, then Ms. Walton, then we're going to make sure you get to your other questions.
I think we're in, that's one of the things I want to say.
Okay. So
I
think we're in all merge.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's all right. Okay, it's
all right. Perfect.
I want you to tell them that they need to make sure all builders in Charlotte, Mecklenburg County build mixed income housing. Don't let them continue to build low income housing, medium income housing in the black neighborhoods. They need to stop doing it. If they don't do the mixed income housing, our neighborhoods are always going to fail. And just one comment on the HOA, because I don't really know. I don't have a homeowners association. I live in a black neighborhood. We don't have one. So I'm not sure if most black neighborhoods have an HOA.
The older neighborhoods.
Older neighborhoods. Older.
Older.
And I don't think it's legal to institute one after a neighborhood has already been developed.
Right. You can, but you have to get a majority of the neighbors have to come together, create the bylaws, just you can start from scratch.
Yeah. All right, Ms. Carlenia.
And that's something I want to talk to you more about, because in our neighborhood, we do not have an official HOA. And, you know, when you charge $50 a year and we have some people pay and some people don't, I want to say, wow, you know. But that's something that we might want to look at. The problem is there's so many restrictions, and we don't want, it's a neighborhood with elderly, so we don't want to have something so restrictive to take people's homes, you know. But at the same time, my question is that, back to what Laura said, I'm not sure what the goal is. Evidently, you guys are going around doing focus groups, getting input to provide that to the and that is done with us and so many other groups so often. What is the timeline for you to complete your focus groups, take the information back, and then what is the timeline for you to come back and to give us what's going to be the outcome, what's going to happen, or you know the results of what you said, and then the implementation. And you might not know that, but if you could get back to us and let us know, because we never, I don't think in a lot of cases we see what the end result is. I don't care if it's a year from now. What is the goal or the end result?
That's a really good point. Mm-hmm. The only part of that I know right now is that our timeline is to end on May 16th. We finish all of our work. We get all of our information. We send our information to the county. The county will then bring that their solutions back to you at some point. I don't know when that is, but I will make sure that that's in our notes.
All right, Ms. Sarita, then Ms. Jackie.
I'm concerned about senior homes. What percentage, if you have it, of your total corporate ownership is designated for senior citizens?
I don't have that information. That's something we can check on. Whether the senior housing, whether it's rental housing, is included in this number, as it very well may be. I don't know. We can try to find that out for you.
Because I'm there, and I've been looking for 3 years now.
Ms. Walton, Edwards.
When you say area, and you may have already done that, is area the city, is it the county, is it the MSA?
It's the county. This what we're doing is for Mecklenburg County.
Okay, when you gave that 13,000.
Yes.
And which department of the county?
Now, my understanding is that this has been pushed out, Crystal, you may know better than I, this has been pushed out by the commissioners to their leadership staff, and the leadership staff hired the Lee Institute and the Urban Institute to get this out to the community.
Follow up. I guess I'm trying to figure out which county department is your report going to give, go back to?
Let me find out. I can get it to you in just a second.
Okay, thank you.
All right, while she does that, we got Ms. Mary, then I have a question. Oh, then Ms. Mary, Ms. McCletty, then me.
Okay. I want to get back to the neighborhoods because I still say that, first of all, this is a capitalistic society. We cannot stop people from buying houses, okay? They can buy whatever house they want unless you have that cover in your neighborhood. So I think that when we keep talking about what can the city do, what can the county do? That's nothing, because people can buy. You go, if you got the money, you can go out here right now and buy any house you want. You got to work through your neighborhood. I'm the president of my neighborhood association, and my neighborhood was built in 1960 and 1961. There was no such thing as an HOA. We have a neighborhood association. We do have bylaws, but we are going through that too. We now have three homes that are owned by those corporations, right? And they come in and they gut the whole house out and redo it and all of that. And so what we're doing is that when we see people, we have a lot of elderly people, so we're trying to work with them to make sure, and their families, to make sure that they keep the house in the family. There's somebody in that family that can stay in that house or rent that house out. You know, but we're working with the individual families, and if you don't do that, you can't just say the county ought to stop it, because they can't. So I need you to come to my neighborhood meeting and talk to us.
I got you.
Okay.
But I asked her.
All right, we got it.
Them first, then come to me.
All right, Ms. McCletty.
Okay, my concern is if we make recommendations, we don't usually get feedback. We ask people to come back and bring us information, and if they can't answer the questions that we ask. So we ask for that in this group. But I'd just like to address this. You said what action should be taken in relation to this. And this is just a recommendation that I think would work. I don't know if you all were aware of the fact that the Dollar General stores across some of the cities and counties have hired and had the communities to buy into the Dollar General stores as ownership. And one of the recommendations that I would make is that the county, if they can go and find some investors, I'll say perhaps the Tuesday Forum group would want to invest in some of the properties that are available, to just keep it in the community and keep it in the hands of the Black owners and have a limit on it. But just like the Dollar General stores have enabled the people to buy into the stores that they are opening up in their communities, that they would solicit people in the communities that can make recommendations of some of our own people, people like us, that could investigate. If they would solicit that across at least the state first and maybe nationally, but to just try to get some investors that look more like us to be a part of these investments and try to keep it, you know, in our community as African Americans, because there are a lot of African Americans across the country that are coming into a lot of money, and they might want to invest, and they are coming to Charlotte. But why should they take? Why can't they take Delbrook? And a limit. I think that should be a limit. You buy so many houses, or you buy so many properties, and let the community be responsible for it, or have a corporation or set it up, but make that an offer to the communities if they are interested in purchasing the properties that are getting ready to go on sale, because the parents died and the kids know they're going to come in. But our realtors, you know, they got a strong realty group here in Charlotte that's comprised of most of African Americans that have been working really hard to try to save some of the houses. I know, especially in Cornelius,
and Davidson. They have been working really hard to do something. But to take that group and help them to try to come up with a solution and the development on how they're going to do that. So that's a recommendation. We can keep it in the family. If Dollar General could do that, and they're all over, we should be able to do that with our homes and our apartment complexes. So people can stay there at a reasonable price.
All right, it's my turn. I get to make a couple points. My first point. All right.
No, I was just gonna say strategic planning and evaluation is the department. You're asking about the department. It's strategic planning and evaluation.
My first point, unique to Black people, I think the elephant in the room is largely succession planning. Heirs property laws and policy that will allow, if a home is inherited by a group of people, it's like a chain. Investors will find that one weak link. Say, I'll buy your part. What that does is then send the property to auction, and all of the heirs have to split whatever it goes for. So, proper succession planning is mandatory. Two, I think it is very important to mention that I think the fear is once these investors get enough of the stock, we know how local municipalities respond. They just want to do just like a quick band-aid response. So, if they have enough stock, then they will become incentivized by the very people taking a survey, which is our local government, the city and county, saying, hey, we'll give you this much money to make these homes affordable. So now we're empowering what we're kind of fighting against as well. So I want to know, again, with that, like, what preventative measures do we have with our local governments to ensure that this group isn't next to be incentivized by providing the affordable housing they kind of just finagled us out of?
So that's the question you want us to put forward to?
Yes,
the
yes.
Yes, got it.
Yeah, I just have one. And yes, and Ms. Mary has an announcement, then Ms. Walton has another question.
Okay, I just wanted to announce before you all start leaving that there's going to be a session tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. at the Allegra Westbrook Library with the new owner of the Excelsior Club. And it's going to be at 5:30. They need as many people to come as possible. But we've been asking a long time what's going to happen with the Excelsior Club. So he's going to be here to give a presentation.
And not only the Excelsior, the project that William Hughes is involved with.
Okay, so that's also going to be presented.
Okay. That's going to come up too.
Oh, okay.
And the parking.
But the parking is the issue. Yeah.
But regarding the parking, they're saying there's some problems with the parking, and it would take about $1.5 million to correct that. $1.5 million is not a lot of money, y'all. They need to correct it and make it happen.
Okay.
All right, Ms. Walton. Ms. Walton, and then I saw a hand of two hands actually. Okay. Ms. Walton. Is that the Delbrook Pharmacy?
They've already had a presentation over at Memorial Church about that.
With their partner. Okay. My question has to do with similar to what Weston was saying. Maybe the county could consider maybe some workshops dealing with estate planning, because that's the issue with air property. Thank you.
All right. Who's one? Either one. Y'all work that out. I don't know who's answering.
I just have a quick question. How long have you guys been doing the listening tour? Where all or what all neighborhoods have you gone to? And what's the feedback been from those other areas so far?
We started in early April. And we have been to every part. Now, not Crystal and I, specifically, yep. Other team members, have been to all of the towns, Matthews, Mint Hill, Huntersville, Cornelius, and different places here within the city, east side, west side. I've done, this will be my fourth. I've heard many of the same questions, concerns. Well, a couple places they were a little different. But the concerns typically center around your questions of what can the county actually do? Because of what we say in the beginning, it's a free market, it's a capitalistic system. A lot of conversation around HOAs, homeowners associations, a lot of conversation, well, some conversation about, well, what about older neighborhoods that don't have homeowners associations? On the east side, where there are a lot of neighborhood associations that have been strong for very many years, but the concern has been the difference between a homeowners association and a neighborhood association. Homeowners association has some legality around it, some corporate legality. The neighborhood association is really based on relationships, right? So the two things have to find a way to come together. And so the question someone had about, well, an older neighborhood won't have a homeowners association, what can a neighborhood association do? So those kinds of questions were in there. This is the first session that I've been in that the question came up, and this is one that I've had in my head. What does a neighborhood that does not, an older neighborhood that does not have a homeowners association currently, how and whether they can form a homeowners association at this, you know, stage of the game, and how do they do that? So this is the first time I've really heard that come up, but that's been in my mind. The bottom line issue of younger people not being able to, their concerns about not being able to develop wealth, generate wealth, because they can't buy that first home. That's been major, that kind of underlying question, because that's the way in this country you build wealth, is you get that first home and you go from there. So those are the key things. Everything that's come up here, but you all have brought some other things as well.
Ms. Michelle, I believe, right. Then Ms. Mary, then Ms. No, she had it first. Then Ms. Ivory, then Ms. Walker.
I just wanted to say that I was in strong agreement with this gentleman, real estate gentleman here. I live where there is an HOA, okay? And in fact, this year we were able to bring it down. I don't know how we did it, but our attorney brought it down from 20% to 10%. And I do believe it is probably your strongest protection against, you know, these corporate landlords. So if people do live and can bring their neighbors together and figure out how they're going to pull it together and have somebody either get an attorney or somebody who is capable of reading the list of what they need to do, you can then legally say, no, you cannot build. So that's
all right. Ms. Johnson, then Ms. Ivory Canton, then Ms. Waller.
Oh, I just want to say one thing that you can take back to the county is figure out if they can figure out a way, or if they will, for us older neighborhoods that have neighborhood associations, could they somehow grandfather us into homeowner association? I mean, they'd make it easier for us because the homes were built so long ago. Can they make it easier for us without us having to jump through all those hoops to become an HOA?
Thank you.
I want to go back because I said, Tony, you said something. We don't have a HOA, but we have a covenant. Mm-hmm. And the thing about a covenant is not as strong as an HOA, but it can be effective you know, there's things, but unfortunately, they built a box in our neighborhood, a box. And we were able to talk to them and say, based on our covenant, it had to have bricks on the front and different things. Because otherwise, without even the covenant, they come into your neighborhood, find the land, and build anything on there, and which is a disaster. But a covenant is not as strong. You have to use the fact that it's a city code violation to get a whole lot of other things done. But that's why I really do want to talk to you. And then I have to say, again, don't want to stereotype, but it's true. Sometimes our mindset is that we don't want to do better. And not do better, what's the word? We don't want to
get involved.
When we get to the point of our, you know, when we get seasoned, like some people get seasoned, you know, other folks, they don't want to do things differently in neighborhood. And Mary, you probably experienced that in your neighborhood. So we have, and then, you know, Winston, yours is up and coming, and you have younger people who are willing to do changing. But maybe in mine, we have people who are seasoned who want everything to stay status quo.
Miss Jackie.
Yeah, I was going to say about those covenants. And with those covenants, I know when I moved to the neighborhood, those covenants were conveyed when we purchased the house. Nothing under 2,000 square feet, that brick front, it was all right there. But I want, in your previous life, Tony, at your old shop, yes ma'am, the neighborhood symposium, that was one of the places that folk from certain neighborhoods could come together, and y'all created those. I mean, they didn't even have neighborhood associations then, but y'all did that for persons from neighborhoods.
We did.
And a lot of that has fallen away, I mean, from the things of bylaws and all. Some of that needs to be reinstated.
Okay, I can take that back. I've been fortunate to be able to continue to do some work with those people now that I'm retired. I just haven't understood retirement very well. But I'll take that back. Now, this is a countywide thing, so what that would mean is the ideas that you're talking about could be taken back to the county to say, looking at that template that the city of Charlotte has in place, how do we get some of that out, get that template maybe out to the other towns and to the, you know, community as a whole, the county as a whole?
I have to leave, but I wanted to say this has been very informative. I'm not sure which one, who initiated it, but great session.
Thank you, thank you. Let me ask a question too, or make a statement. Let me, and we gotta get out of here by 10. To my good brother, from the real estate perspective, I'm 41. When I was in college, I grew up in Wilmore. When I would come home on holidays, groups of my childhood friends would just be displaced. I didn't know what that meant at the time. You know, I'm 19. However, while upwardly mobile black families were moving to Charlotte, they were migrating, but it feels like being steered towards that W.T. Harris area. For that same $100,000 where younger white families were coming to Wilmore and purchasing those homes. Now, 20 years later, that home on W.T. Harris for $100,000 might be a respectable $350,000. But that home in Wilmore is $800,000 or $900,000. So I don't know how, and that seems more systemic, how, you know, groups or en masse that black people or people of color were, you know, are in those areas while neighborhoods like Wilmore, Cherry, North Charlotte, NoDot now, which were historically, well not historically, kind of after, you know, they were black centric, how they kind of transitioned to whiteness. I say all that to say, real estate professionals need to be well versed in city planning because the writing was on the wall. There were no secret Illuminati meetings. They told you exactly where they were going to put that light rail, that stadium, and it was all centric to urban areas. and we were being pushed to the suburbs, and the suburbs were being less invested in than there. But anyway, but yeah, so
that's right. That's right.
Let me give me a glass. Go ahead, bro.
Can I just, as a real estate agent, can I speak a little bit to you in regard to that? Going back to the African community looking into that WT Harris and those outside location, primarily were because they were looking for something with square footage, where property in the Wilmore or somewhere surrounding this area was smaller on. And depending on the client you're working with, they will ask you, some client will ask you location over square footage, and some client will ask you square footage over location. And the people moving into the Wilmore or some of the Villa High, they were willing to take the location for the long-term return rather than going for the bigger home and just have that, or I want to have 4 or 5 bedrooms. So going back to some of the stuff, to some extent, we are still our own worst enemy. Just yesterday, I was at an appointment where it was an air situation. The mother passed away, left the house behind to 2 sons. One of the sons was still renting an apartment, and the other son has a home that he owns. Yet, the one that was renting an apartment rather sell that house because the house is paid for free and clear, get that money, than moving into the house. That was our thing. So we stole our own worst enemy in a sense, and our generation, some of those hard work on is not still embedded in our system. So it's kind of, it's still the reason why.
I totally understand that. And I will say that I extend grace because that is the residual effect of being disenfranchised from a system. Remember, black people and home ownership is a new thing. Pre-1968, black people could not live where they wanted to live. So if you did elect to buy a house, it was likely in a redlined place where you was told it has no value. It has no room to grow. So, you know, that's the, and again, these are our grandparents. This is 68. That's not that long ago. So those damages that are happening today are very much a reflection of a system that we were disenfranchised. And that's why I feel like counties, cities, states, feds, they owe us a bit of repair, orations, to, again, make up for those policy measures that very much affected the way we live now. So, you know, just let's get the weed from the root instead of the leaves.
I just want to reiterate, looking at what you all have already found, the second bullet on there is, they have available capital to perform the necessary renovations. I would like to emphasize, if the county wants to do anything, that they find some African-American investors across this country to come in and present to them what they have available in some of these neighborhoods where they're going in changing. So just to emphasize and reiterate it, is they need to find some black investors to come and talk to these neighborhoods about purchasing these homes so they can keep the flow of the blacks going.
But they're not gonna do that, Laura.
I'm giving a recommendation that the county, if they hire them to do this, they can hire somebody to go around the country to find some black investors.
Right.
They can do that. If Dollar Tree can do it,
the county can.
Yeah.
We have to be intentional about establishing ways of equity. If we're gonna do this dog and pony show, we got to be serious about it. The blueprint was developed by Maynard Jackson with Atlanta and airports. You can do the same thing in the housing sector. The city and the county, they all each acquire land all the time. They can intentionally distribute that land to, or those homes or those buildings to people of certain communities to kind of create, you know, a threshold for equity.
This is
something you may want to take back to the county. They may want to take a look at Cuyahoga County, Ohio. So that's where I'm originally from. But we have, I think it's called the Cuyahoga County Land Trust, where when distressed and dilapidated properties, the county basically takes some funds from the general fund, and they buy those properties, and then they resell them to investors, give them a tax incentive to revitalize those properties. And of course, there the price is at a much lower price point than here in Mecklenburg County. But it does, I know a young lady that I went to school with who is a millionaire now, because she, and this is where community comes in. Her and her brother was in construction, she was a real estate agent. They just bought a bunch of properties, they, you know, put renters in them and all that kind of stuff. But I feel like for the county here, it may be a good opportunity to start partnering with organizations that focus on affordable housing and stuff like that, to reinvest and then kind of put those homes in a situation where, you know, people can get them and not have to pay $1,500.
Yeah.
We have a
Westside
Land Trust.
All right, Ms. Natalie.
Just a comment on one reason why I think the trend is changing from home ownership to rental is most of the 20, 30, early 30-year-olds that I know aren't interested in home ownership because they want the flexibility of to just be able to go anywhere, move anywhere, do anything that they their jobs take them to or whatever. So I think that might be why the trend is more to leasing homes than renting, I mean than buying homes. So it's hard to get them to buy. I don't know what's going to happen to my house because I know none of my grandchildren are interested in living in. They don't want to tie themselves down.
I take that off your hands. You got a pool. Ooh, yeah, let's talk. But y'all, it is approaching 10 o'clock. I'm going to allow Ms. Tony and Ms. Crystal to close out this very informative, hopefully productive session of Tuesday Morning Forum.
It is what I expected. It is the most productive and informative session that we've had so far. I knew that was going to be the case. So I'm really glad. I'm not happy about the circumstance that brought me here, but I'm glad that I got to be here today. You probably already heard that our one of our folks had an accident and couldn't get here. So
is she okay?
She's okay.
So I'm really glad. I'm always happy to be here this week. We will share everything that we've gotten from you with the county. And we will also make sure that they remember that we've got to bring it back to you after their deliberations, after they've done whatever work they're going to do, that in whatever form their results comes in, it needs to come back to you. The circle needs to be completed and closed.
And if they can't do it that way, just send it to Steve and he'll put it on the website.
We'll do that too. Thank you. Thank you everybody.
Thank you so much. Quickly, anybody got an announcement? Anybody have an announcement? Mr. Marion.
Yes, Sign of the Times will be performing Sunday, May.
Fourth Sunday. At the Arts Factory at 1545 West Trade Street.
If you've never seen them, check them out.
Don't forget, I want to see everybody tomorrow at 5:30 at Labor West Brick.
Okay. All right.
Ms. Reed.
Juneteenth flag raising, June 5th. Monday, June 5th, from 11 to 12.
All right. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you next week.